Welcome back to DQP Does, Drafted Quarters Podcast Network movie review show, where we don't steal jewels with DMX and we don't fuck with the dude from Kitchen Stadium. With me this evening is my co-host, Russell.
I don't know what I watched.
Yeah. I do. We watched
Cradle to the Grave.
To continue our DMX month, DMX Appreciation Month. It's from 2003. It's rated R, an hour and 41 minutes. This kind of has the same problem that Belly had.
Just an hour and 41 minutes?
Yes. Huh. Did it feel longer than that to you?
Yeah, I thought I was watching it for like 3 hours.
So it's like a, it's just kind of like a crime. It's a very 2001, 2002 movie.
Yeah.
These criminals that are like good guy criminals, anti-hero kind of people, are doing a bad, and something happens to them where they get caught up in something else, and then you're following them try to undo the bad. And so it's like kind of like a normal plot like that, until like three quarters of the way through the movie, all of a sudden these diamonds that they stole, that like, you know, and it would be totally normal for these diamonds to just be like, oh, these diamonds are worth like $2 million a piece. Yeah, that's why these people are trying to kill them over it.
They're not even regular diamonds.
They're
black diamonds.
Yeah, they're black diamonds. So like that would be normal, right? Like,
yeah.
They didn't need the last part of this movie for this movie to make sense.
No.
And then the end of the movie is the diamonds are actually like synthetic stable plutonium that can be hit with a laser, and it turns into a material that is 100 times more potent than weapons grade plutonium.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Totally. Street level heroes.
And I mean, like, I just explained the whole movie. I'm not doing the synopsis. Like,
oh, okay, so we're good.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Like, they're thieves. They steal the wrong shit. Somebody starts going after them. Start going after them. One is Jet Li, who is supposed to be working for Taiwan. Is like basically like Taiwan CIA. And the other is the dude from Kitchen Stadium.
That don't mean nothing to me.
What? Oh. You're quoting the movie. I don't even remember what the...
Because he reads his badge and then he's like, that don't mean nothing to me.
Yep.
And then later he can like supposedly like help him get out of, you know, U.S. crime stuff.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So... My favorite part is when DMX and Jet Li like start fighting, and then they like just sort of stop fighting, and then like DMX takes a phone call, and then they're like best buds and gonna do this together.
Yeah.
Fucking what?
This is the best written movie ever. And sometimes, do you remember watching those like kids action movies?
Yeah, like Spy Kids.
Yeah, like sometimes that's the level of writing and like the style of writing even that is in this.
Yeah.
Like, because there's this whole plot where they kidnap DMX's little girl to get him to bring them the diamonds back. And so like every time the little girl is involved, it turns into a kids movie. Except all the villains are like saying shit and fuck when she like does something to them.
Yeah.
but everything else is like the little kid's a genius and like breaks out of something and like
she like whoops that one dude's, whoops ass. Dude's ass
by kicking him in the balls and stomping like on his foot.
6'2", 245 pounds.
He didn't just like twist her fucking little head off.
Yeah.
Or like tank the kick from a 6-year old to the nuts and be like, I'm gonna choke the life out of you now. You know? He just goes down like a sack of fucking potatoes and she drives the van into a wall and doesn't die. Like it's totally a fucking kids movie. Like,
look, man, the physics of car wrecks change when it's an escape.
Yeah. And when it's not a Steven Seagal movie.
Oh no.
Dude, if that little girl had fucking face planted into that windshield like that, I would have died. I'd be like, oh fuck. Oh my god.
But then that would have showed that they learned something in three movies.
Yeah. Know? It's the same fucking director. That's why I don't get it. Like there's such a stylistic difference between this and the last movie.
Yeah.
Like there is some similarities. Like there's a lot of Dutch angles. And like for no reason.
Yeah. What is with that?
That's the so little weird. Girl's just like looking through like the cupboards in this Winnebago and this Dutch angle, angle, Dutch angle, another Dutch angle. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
They're like walking down the street, Dutch angle. What? Like, no, fucking stop it.
Yeah, like the movie's not good enough to like imply or pull any emotion out of you anyway. So
well, I mean, like when you're doing that, it's supposed to like cause confusion or like increase tension, and then like
yeah,
but they're doing it in like the wrong places at the wrong times.
Yeah,
like I said, like literally, like the whole cast is walking down the street in broad daylight, and it's shot like it's in 2002, so it's like just like bright, pure daylight.
Yeah,
and it's the Dutch angle. Like, why? why the fuck am I looking at them like I like there's something wrong with my neck? Like what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
This movie is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like no one, this is the worst acting that we've gotten out of DMX.
Yeah.
And by like far. It's the fourth movie with the same director.
Yeah.
Like it should have been by far the best acting.
Yeah.
It's like he regressed.
Yeah.
Like the only people that had like any kind of like stage presence or anything, any kind of presence or chemistry with anyone was Tom Arnold and Anthony Jefferson or whatever his last name is.
Anderson. Anthony Jefferson.
I don't know. I forgot what his last name was. I knew it was his son.
Yeah. So like
those guys have great chemistry.
I'm sad we never got like a Tom Arnold, Anthony Anderson, like buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Like that could have been fucking great.
Yeah.
Cause like, Tom Arnold can act his fucking ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Not in, I mean, he doesn't in this. No, because like,
he just plays, he's just doing the fucking same thing he did in True Lies and shit. Like,
yeah, could you imagine as like Tom Arnold as like, not quite like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon, but like similar archetype where he's like some of the comic relief, but also super fucking unhinged. Like, hasn't ever murdered someone, but like is constantly about to murder someone. No,
like kind of like nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Arnold in like a role like that.
Yeah.
But he's a cop, so he's like not like a former assassin.
Yeah. He's just like a everyday cop. And he like maybe even keeps talking about it. He's like, you know what, man, you just one day I just want to know what it feels like. It's like to kill a falling somebody.
Down the kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah. He's in like Anthony Anderson's just like his partner that's along for the ride.
Yeah. When the whole time Anthony's just like, man, stop playing around. Stop playing around. Yeah. And Tom Arnold just like gets real serious. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll stop playing around. And then he does it like in the second act of the movie.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
And he, and Anthony Anderson's like starts freaking out, right? And he's like, oh dude, I can't believe what are you doing? Like you didn't have the right to kill that guy. And he's like, yeah, but it felt good.
And then it turns into like Collateral.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. That movie would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been way better than this one.
What do we watch?
Cradle to the Grave.
With to the Grave.
Two, like the number two, not yeah. like T-O, like the yeah. number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have known.
Typically means also.
The title that this was all, this was super bad.
Cradle, also Grave.
No, two, like like the number two, like would suggest that there was a Cradle One, the Grave.
Yeah.
Or just the Cradle, the Grave. This is Cradle to the Grave. Yeah. So it's sequel to Cradle the Grave.
Yeah.
But, no, that doesn't exist. Thank God.
But there is a Cradle to the Grave 2, which we will be watching next week.
No, we won't.
I also don't think DMX is in it.
I fucking quit. It wasn't that bad. It's pretty bad, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like Jet Li, even I've, you know, in last week's episode of DQP Weekly, we talked about when it feels like someone's just showing up to collect a paycheck. Mm. And I feel like Jet Li was just like, yeah, I get paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like fucking Hi-Ya and shit.
Why did he have one hand in his pocket the whole time?
See, I think that was supposed to be like a cool thing, but in this, it wasn't like a cool thing.
It was just like, why do you have a hand in your pocket the whole time?
Yeah. It was Jackie Chan in one of his movies. I don't remember which one, but he's like, I'll fight you with my hands in my pockets. And he puts both his hands in his pockets and then like beats a dude's ass. I want to say it's Drunken Master.
Okay.
I think it is actually, because I think it's when he's in the town. Maybe, I don't know. If Mike's listening, he would probably know.
Okay.
But yeah, so I assume it's supposed to be like a cool thing, and then it was like not a cool thing.
No, it's dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. Cause yeah.
This movie was dumb. Hey, Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, and Randy Couture were in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Randy Couture ever like, or not Randy Couture, do you think Chuck Liddell ever like cosplayed as a fucking Guile?
No.
He should have.
Well, he had a mohawk though.
Oh yeah, I guess Guile has a flat top.
Guile has like the flat top that the Japanese assume like American GIs have or something. It's like, yeah, they have like a 2 foot tall flat top. I'm like, what?
It's actually insult. No. They're like, that's why they're so tall. It's their hair.
Yeah, they're the same height as us. they just have like really tall hair. Just
have hair that stands up.
Yeah. What? No.
Yeah, so
it was really weird though. Like, so the MMA part, there's the MMA part where they like go to this underground fighting thing.
Yeah.
And it's super illegal and everyone's betting, and like the people in the front row, it's like a Gallagher show and they're just getting covered in blood. So they have like tarps and shit.
Yeah. Lionheart was a cool movie. We're going to rip it off.
Yeah.
There's a Lionheart everywhere.
So they have like Chuck Liddell getting his ass beat by Tito Ortiz, which I don't remember that ever happening in real life. I'm pretty sure Tito got a glass jaw way before Chuck did. Which is hilarious because it makes Chuck look like a bitch, and then Jet Li makes Randy Couture look like a bitch, but then Tito looks good. Cause Jet Li can't just like whip his ass, but he whips everyone else's ass.
Yeah.
And Tito's like the final boss
of the underground,
fighting thing scene.
Yeah.
You know, cause that's how fighting movies go, right? Like there's a bunch of like dudes and they all get their asses beat. And then there's like one badass that the hero has a problem with. And it takes them a minute to get beaten down. But
yeah.
And that was Tito here. And I'm like, what? Was he like champ in like 2002? I don't even remember. I don't remember if he ever was champ or when he was, if he was.
Yeah, I don't know. I quit watching after John Favreau retired.
Who?
John Favreau. That was a Friends joke.
What the fuck?
John Favreau is on Friends, and on Friends, he is an aspiring MMA fighter.
Oh, okay.
And he's real bad. He gets his ass beat.
Okay. Okay, 2002. Tito beat Ken Shamrock in UFC 40 light heavyweight main event.
Ken Shamrock.
I don't know if that was
like why it was done that way, because he was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he was like popular at the time, and that's why it was done like that. But
yeah.
Anyway. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Fuck Tito.
It should have been Chuck, right?
I mean, so Chuck and Tito had a lot of, they had like a trilogy, I think, but Chuck and Randy also had a trilogy, I think. And Randy came out on top of those. I believe it's been a long time.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago, but
I think it also shows like some sportsmanship stuff that they were all at least able to appear in a movie together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of those guys, like, they don't hate each other. They just play it up for the...
Yeah, they just all hate Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Well, because he's actually a prick. Oh, I get you some proper 12.
Oh, God.
Fuck off, bro.
Dude, he'd whoop my ass, but I'd be laughing the entire time. Especially if he's like, dude, I fucking watching Roadhouse. I was like, how does that voice come out of him? That's so weird.
Yeah,
I don't know that I ever heard him talk before I watched that.
Really?
Yeah.
He talks so much.
Well, I hear him always screaming, like,
oh, yeah,
like hopping on top of the fence or like, and like interviews, he's always like hoarse after fights and stuff. But I don't know that I've ever seen him talk in like a regular interview, unless he was just playing it up for the movie. But in the movie, I was like, what the fuck? Or it'd also be funny if they tweaked his voice like in post.
It's like brought it up a few.
Move him up 3 octaves.
3 octaves? God damn. That's he had a deep voice before that. But yeah, I don't know. This movie sucked. Do we want to go to the corner?
That movie was pretty bad.
I don't really have anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. This is going to be a short one. Let's go down to the trivia corner.
Shane's trivia corner.
Shane's trivia corner.
Where the point of this corner is to not be bored.
Yes. So real life UFC competitors Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture, and Chuck Liddell were recruited by producer Joel Silver for the cage fight sequence with Jet Li. Yeah, we just said that. The casting of Mark Dacascos was the result of a poll on Jet Li's website where fans were asked who they would like to see him fight next. Oh my fucking God.
I mean, that's cool, but like the fight sucked.
Yeah. Jet Li's character only fights with one hand for a majority of the film. But why? Aaliyah was set to star in the film until her untimely death in 2001. DMX was constantly late for shooting.
All drugs.
Oh, fuck. Gabrielle Union was caught by surprise when producers sprang a half-clothed lap dance scene on her, which wasn't in the original script. She did the scene, but being a devout Catholic, she went to confession afterwards.
So that's super shitty.
Yeah, what the fuck?
They're just like standing there. They're like, yeah, you're hot. Hey, we need you to strip for this scene.
Yeah, completely topless. That's why she didn't fucking, they didn't actually show her tits, because she was like, no. And they're like, you're getting topless. And she's like, well, only this guy gets to see him. Nobody else.
I feel like that's a pretty good, yep, there's a word I'm looking for.
Compromise?
Go ahead. No, when you put something together. When you string some thoughts together, unlike I'm able to do.
Okay.
Based thoughts? On a theory, not theory. That's not the word I want, but it works.
Okay.
That's a pretty good theory, bud.
Okay, thanks. moving on. In the cage fighting scene, okay, here we go. Tito Ortiz is shown as the victor in a fight between himself and Chuck Liddell. In reality, the two have fought three times in MMA, with Chuck winning the first two fights and Tito winning the last one.
Because it was scripted for the movie. Right.
Sure. second film to star Anthony Anderson and Tom Arnold, they share more screen time in this movie than they did in Exit Wounds 2001, where they shared the last scene together. It also is the second film to star DMX and Tom Arnold after Exit Wounds.
Okay.
The film was originally developed as a remake of M from 1931.
Fucking what? It didn't feel like it at all.
Yeah, what? At one point, Arnold Schwarzenegger was slated to star. What?
No, that's kind of funny, because Tom Arnold says...
What?
Yeah. Like, which character? Like, Jet Li's?
I'm assuming he would be the... he would Arnold be DMX Schwarzenegger
from Taiwan.
Yeah. When filming wrapped up on time and editing was proceeding at a fast pace, Warner Brothers considered opening the film in late August, a mere 3 months after it finished shooting. They later opted to release the pick in late February the following year.
Sounds like they had more time to fix the fucking movie.
You make it a little better. Yeah. Oof. There are six actors that have been in the reboot version of Hawaii 5-0. Mark Dacascos played by Wofat, played Wofat. Chi McBride played Captain Lou Grover. Paige Hurd played Samantha Grover. Kelly Hu played Laura Hills, an assistant to the governor in the first season. Tom Arnold played Ron Alberts, an injured criminal lost in the jungle. And Randy Couture played arsonist Jason Duclair.
Huh.
So half of this cast was also in Hawaii 5-0.
The reboot. Movie reboot.
No, the show
reboot. Show reboot?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they rebooted the show.
Yeah, it's been on for like years.
Oh, the one that's still on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
The Wilhelm screen there when Sue kicks the fighter, sending him flying back into the cage.
Uh-huh.
Who cares about that? What? What? These are stupid.
Oh, I want to know.
Well, there's like the man whose quad got stolen by Anthony rides a Suzuki RM250. Good for him. Anthony drives a 2003 911 Carrera Cabrio.
Okay.
Cool. And then this one doesn't even sound accurate. In an interview with Sight and Sound, DMX explained that his rap name was actually DMT, but as a performer, he wanted to avoid confusion with anything even vaguely enjoyable.
What the fuck? Has to be someone trolling.
Yeah. What the fuck is this?
What the fuck? What, are there only two, like, car things?
No, there's like four more.
Okay, because I was wondering if maybe the fans of the movie were a type.
Yeah, Sue drives a 2002 Ford Thunderbird.
Kill.
Anthony steals to escape the police a Yamaha YFM 660R. Tommy drives a 1998 Lincoln Town Car stretched limousine. Like, why? Who cares?
Oof.
That's it. That's like 50% of the fucking... That's all I have for the trivia corner.
Cool.
Sick. Cool. 30-minute episode, guys. Here we go.
Hold on 2 seconds.
Dude, we were going to make it under 30 minutes.
No, we can't do that.
Yeah, we can. Totally can.
How much longer do we have?
Don't worry about it.
Because I should have done this.
Done what?
I should have said a random Jet Li trivia the whole time.
No.
Why is Jet Li called Jet? They likened his career to an aircraft, which likewise takes off as quickly.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to rate this. I'm going to give it a 4.5 because it sucks. Yeah, and that's about as twice as tall as the little person in the cage fight scene was. Russell?
I don't know, man. It wasn't really that bad.
I don't know
if it was below a 7.
Oh, it's like it's below a 7. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. I give this movie like a 3. Okay. When I say like a 3, I mean somewhere under a 3 or maybe somewhere slightly above a 3, but it's somewhere around a 3. It's awful. I was bored. I couldn't pay attention. The pacing sucked. The story was like dumb. It was just dumb. Like it was just dumb. Like, yeah. There's nothing original about it. And then they tried to be original, and then it felt like they were less original for trying to be original.
Yeah,
I don't know. And then he shoves the thing down the dude's throat, and then his face lights up.
Oh my god. There's a complete like lack of respect for reality in this movie. I forgot about that, and it makes me think of like the infinite ammo fucking Uzi that Kelly Hugh had, and just fuck off. You know what the fire rate of an Uzi is? It's probably like 600 rounds a minute. What's the fire rate of an Uzi?
That's some trivia.
I'm good. It's 600 rounds per minute.
Nice.
When it's chambered in 9mm Parabellum, it's 500 when it's in 45 ACP. But I almost guarantee you that was a 9mm. Or it wasn't. It's just because it's a fake gun. But anyway, 600 rounds per minute. That's like 10 rounds. 10 rounds a second. It's only got a 30 round magazine. I guarantee she was ripping rounds off for at least 10 seconds. Never reloaded it.
Yeah.
Fail. Failure.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
Also the nuke thing, like
dude, two
Hiroshimas in fucking Kitchen Stadium's throat.
Like that, I laughed at two Hiroshimas and I was like, surely, because they're, if you didn't watch the movie, they're comparing this like fucking weapons grade plutonium.
The yield of it.
Yeah, the yield of it they get to a certain point and he's like, one Hiroshima, two Hiroshimas.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't commit to the joke because he should have said three Hiroshimas.
Yeah, no, then he waits a little while. He's like, new world order.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Trash. But then it ends up in what's his fuck's throat, and he gets like karate chopped in the throat, and it just like burns him to ash. And somehow that doesn't give anyone else radiation sickness or radiation burns, even though like Jet Li is standing like 5 feet away from him.
Yeah.
Like everyone else is like 100 yards or so away.
Yeah.
But like Jet Li would be dead.
He would have
100%.
He would have fucking melted.
Well, okay. So like it wouldn't like explode like a bomb because it's not in a bomb.
Yeah,
it's not being set off.
But all the components. Like
the radiation that it put off was enough to melt a guy. So it's not gonna hurt a guy that's 5 feet away. No.
Yeah.
No, that's not how that works.
His throat was so strong. Throat goat.
Throat goat. Yep. Oh my God. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of DQP Does, yeah. Where we sort of kind of talked about Cradle to the Grave. It's a piece of shit. What are we doing next week, Russell?
Never Die Alone.
Never Die Alone. Also with DMX. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Double check, make sure that's right. I think it is, though.
Yeah, I think you're right.
DMX.
DMT.
DMT. Oh my God. He's done so many movies. Okay. 2004, Never Die Alone, where he plays King David, a drug kingpin's return home touches off a turf war.
Yay. All right. Well, come hopefully, like, listen to us talk about a movie that doesn't suck. Might have to wait until next month.
Oh yeah, he's got a new white friend. David Arquette's in this one.
Oh yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on all your social media by searching Drafty Quarters Productions. You can also find us on Patreon, searching the same thing, where we are putting up our back episodes of DQP Does the MCU. And when it gets to a little bit after Endgame, we're going to pick that back up. Me and Russell are going to do some more episodes of the stuff that we hadn't done yet. And that's all going to be exclusive to Patreon. So go check that out. It's subscribe for $1 a month. We also have our email, draftyq@gmail.com, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, and our Amazon wish list is in the show notes. So thanks for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful time. Goodbye.
Bye.
What are you, some kind of Kung Fu James Bond?